The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. We'll unearth the real-world experiences of some of the brightest minds in the marketing and technology space so you can learn the tools, tips, and tricks they've learned along the way. Now here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm your host, Benjamin Shapiro, and today we're going to discuss corporate PR for B2B companies. Joining us is Lindsay Groper, who is the president of Blast Media, which is the only PR agency in the U.S. dedicated to B2B SaaS. Blast Media understands the unique challenges associated with scaling a SaaS business and uses media coverage and thought leadership to impact the four primary pillars: investors, employees, partners, and of course, customers. Yesterday, Lindsay and I talked about the keys to cracking the modern corporate narrative. And today we're going to continue the conversation talking about the future of PR measurement for B2B companies. All right, here's the second part of my conversation with Lindsay Groper, the president of Blast Media. Lindsay, welcome back to the MarTech Podcast.
Hey, Benjamin. Thanks for having me back a second time.
Excited to have you back on the show and continue our conversation. Yesterday, we talked about this new corporate narrative. Millennials are the usual buyer now. They like to do their own research, self-select. They're inundated with information. So the way to differentiate and get your brand to stand out is by being human, sharing the story, highlighting the people in your organization, and then syndicating your content to multiple different channels. You take your podcast, you put it on YouTube, you get your shorts, you throw them on LinkedIn, you put them on other social channels, you turn it into a blog post. Now all of a sudden you have this great content syndication strategy. And the problem that we were getting into at the end of yesterday's conversation was, great, but the marketing world wants to think about attribution, wants to think about measurement. How do you think B2B companies specifically should be measuring things like PR and their content strategy to make sure that they're making the most of their marketing investments?
Ben, here's the good news. And for you listeners, you're going to be so excited. I have cracked the code on measuring brand.
Do tell.
Stop trying to measure brand.
Okay.
That's it. That's how you do it. No, I literally have talked to so many people, so many CMOs and brand marketers about this, because we all know, all of marketers know that there is, call it 30% of your budget that you spend on brand that you cannot attribute to any direct ROI, but you know that if you cut it, everything else suffers. We all know this, yet we keep getting held to the standard of measuring it.
You run a PR agency and you're on a marketing podcast. So excuse my language. No shit, you know this. But the problem is that other people that are probably not marketers, probably senior executives who are like, well, why should I give marketing more money? All they're doing it is throwing it into a bucket that I don't know if it returns anything. The entire world is not a marketing believer.
It's why our jobs are so hard, Benjamin. It's why. Because you're right. C-suite, board, they don't get it. And quite honestly, I don't think they ever will. So we have to do our best to draw the lines between brand spend and ROI and demand. So when it comes to PR, I mean, this, we've been running our agency for almost 20 years, and this question, it never goes away. And we have to answer it all the time, right?
Yeah. Lindsay, I'm hiring Blast Media. How do I know if your work works?
Sure. And what does work mean? What is good? What does that mean? What I can tell you is that how we measured PR 20 years ago has evolved, and it should, and there's no excuse for it to not. And we specifically at our agency deal with all software marketers, and they have a very high expectation on how measurement is delivered, reported on, transparency, automated, all of that. So we've invested heavily in software to help do that and sort of match those expectations. But from a PR standpoint, we recently surveyed 200 B2B marketers on how they measure brand spend.
Not a single one said the same answer.
No, absolutely not. The most common answer was it's really hard to measure.
Okay. I stand by my original answer.
But there were the traditional things like quality of media coverage or quality of placements. It was increase in share of voice. But the number one answer was web traffic. And then it had sort of referral traffic, lead gen, et cetera. So even though we've evolved and there's so many different software to invest in the MarTech stack, how brand is measured is still pretty nebulous. Now, that being said, I can speak to it from a PR standpoint. So what did we used to measure? Impressions, like how much coverage did we get and what's the average number of impressions, sort of full stop. That is definitely archaic and is not and should not be a measure of is this program successful? Because more doesn't equal better. You may skyrocket in terms of share of voice, how much you're being talked about in the press for something negative. And more noise doesn't necessarily mean a better program.
So all PR is not good PR.
Correct. So what we like to do is figure out, if you're the CMO, Benjamin, I will say, how are you being measured? When you go into your quarterly business report, what are your objectives? And then we're able to say, okay, based on these specific objectives, we can impact those through PR and we'll create some KRs around that. So that traffic goal, for example, you say, okay, how's PR going to affect the traffic goal? There's the obvious way, which is, are we seeing referral traffic from PR coverage? That is an obvious way. But the other things that we're looking at is how are our efforts potentially impacting SEO and organic to help with that lift? So we will set KRs around things like the percentage of coverage that contains your number one target SEO key phrase. Does the coverage contain a backlink to desired landing pages? What's the average domain authority or strength of site that we're securing coverage on? All of these things sort of filter up to web traffic so that when you go into your quarterly business report and you say, here's all my objectives, here's all the levers I pulled to reach them, PR is one of those levers. And while you can't definitively say, well, but PR drove X to here, you at least have it as part of the strategy to help reach that objective versus what usually happens, Benjamin, as they say, here's my objective, here are all things I did reach. And that's like, oh yeah, and look, we got coverage from our PR agency. That's not helping anyone. So that's first and foremost is creating specific key results that are tied to the actual marketing org's objectives versus our own PR objectives.
I think this is a recent revelation to me where we think about demand capture as marketing. How many people that wanted to buy my products or services were I able to get to my marketing assets and convert them to pipeline and then to revenue and hopefully to profit? And there is another 50% of the puzzle, which is demand creation. And they are a, unfortunately, totally different metric set. How much exposure, awareness, what's the affinity, how many people am I reaching? Like, how many people did I make aware of the brand in a positive light to the point where if they were in market and wanted to, they then knew who I was, what I did, and where they could find me? Because without that, demand capture doesn't really matter. Now, the problem is when you do your demand creation, you probably have to wait 3 to 6 months before it shows up in the demand capture bucket. And your CEO and your board wants that to be in a matter of seconds. So how do you rationalize that? What's the future here when we're measuring PR? I'm sure you are running into this problem every day. I know I run into it. Why should I create a podcast? Well, I think it's probably good for you long term. Seems logical having a bunch of content that humanizes your brand out in the ether. Well, how do I measure whether that's working? How do I rationalize the investment? Preach.
So you're right. Certainly investing in brand is a long drive. It's not a short putt. So there are still some tried and true methods on brand awareness surveys you do at the beginning, middle, end of the year. But something that we have evolved in our agency is aligning our PR efforts with sales teams' efforts and sort of ABM programs, because this can be something that is really sticky. And in the short term, you talk about a board, you talk about CEO who doesn't necessarily understand the brand part. When they hear, and I'll explain it, that PR is helping create direct touch points with target accounts, it's like, well, I'm going to give that some time then, right? It's like all of a sudden you introduce target accounts and how it's affecting target accounts. And it's like, okay, let's let that play out. Versus we're actually going to bring life to our brand. It's like, well, that seems like a dumbass idea.
That's some marketing bullshit right there.
We're already pitching spokespeople. One of the potential outputs of that is a request for contributed content, byline, article, op-ed, et cetera. So what we've started to do with our clients is we request a call with the head of sales to get in our possession a target account list. You might have a full-blown ABM program, invest in platforms and all that, but at the bare minimum, our clients have a target account list. So let's say you are targeting large retailers and you give us 50 retailers. And one of them is Nordstrom. You're trying to get in with maybe your MarTech solution. You're selling to the CMO of Nordstrom. They're on your target list. What we do then is we research, what's Nordstrom doing that's interesting? What have they said? What programs have they implemented as it relates to their marketing program or their e-com? Have they made investments? Did they recently, you know, whatever the case is. And then secondarily, is their CMO out there publicly as a thought leader? So what happens then is we get a request for bylined article. And if it's maybe it's from the CEO of our client. And what happens is in that we write something like, we're really excited about the innovation that's happening in the retail space. For example, Nordstrom just announced their XYZ and their CMO believes that, insert whatever he or she said, we couldn't agree more. We're super aligned on the future of the space, whatever. So that runs. And all of a sudden, that person or the brand, there's a Google alert that gets to them. You can share on LinkedIn, tagging that account, tagging the CMO if they were involved. And then we can write a sales enablement email, shoot it to the BDR responsible for the Nordstrom account. And through our efforts that we're already doing, we're creating touch points with prospects. That makes PR a lot stickier when it comes to that board or that CEO discussion. And they tend to say, let's give that some time. I like that. So that is a way that we've evolved and a way to help connect brand and demand a bit in having those two worlds work together.
A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Time for a 1 minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then. And instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. I sing a very similar song when it comes to why should someone do a podcast? Well, you can build an audience. People are going to listen to you. You're going to humanize your brand. How about we get some of the people that you're trying to reach, some of the unreachable prospects that you can never get in touch with, build world-class media property, and then invite them to be a guest speaker? Well, okay, now all of a sudden, I could see a connection to sales. So PR measurement. We're talking about ABM strategies as well. Are there other ways that you're trying to be more lead gen, direct response focused with your, let's call it, brand marketing efforts?
Yeah, the other way is, and this is actually less on lead gen, it is more customer expansion. We have clients, for example, who have a land and expand sales model. They start working with one department and then eventually they look to move to another department and end up working within the whole org. But we've been able to help them sort of break into those other departments through a similar ABM strategy where we are looking at who are those department heads who have no awareness of the company or the product, even though their counterparts are using it. So we have some customer expansion programs that we can run as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, PR is still going to be brand. It's bucketed into a brand spend, but that doesn't mean that we can stay complacent as PR professionals to say, well, it's just a brand spend and we're just going to measure impressions and general share of voice like we've always done. In-house marketers demand more than that. And so do the boards and so do the C-suite. So we just have to make sure that on the PR side, we're consistently innovating and we're trying new things. You know, when we first started talking about this ABM, like we had all these grandiose ideas of how it was going to go. And in theory, it sounds awesome. In practice, there's changes that we have to make along the way. And the interesting thing too, Benjamin, is that we sometimes get stonewalled within the comms department of our clients because we'll say, hey, what we want to do, can you put us in touch with your sales leader? We want to, you know, help with target accounts. And it's just sort of like, hey, just stay in your lane. We're in comms, like we're doing PR. And so that's been a challenge and sort of a surprising one too. It's like, no, we're trying to make your job easier to help talk about the spend and what the spend is doing is impacting the business. But that's been something that was been surprising for us as well, is there's like confusion on why are you trying to jump into that sandbox? Like we play in this one.
You know, I run into a similar problem. We can retarget people that listen to podcasts. And we often are saying, hey, you've got this podcast. It lives in your brand bucket. We can do some ABM targeting. Why don't we tie into some of your demand gen efforts? If you've got a PPC program, we'll build an audience for you. And most of the time, brands are like, yeah, we don't want to test this audience that we've built. All these people that have been listening to our content, let's not put ads in front of them. That'll never work. And it's just people are rigid in their, I guess, segmentation of the purpose of marketing channels. And the reality is that if done right, they can all be interconnected and they can all support each other.
Right. They should. So it's just interesting because we all agree, right? It's like brands, man, we got to get them together. And then sometimes it's like, okay, well, here's a way. It's like, wow. Ah.
But the PR folks are right-brained and we're left-brained over here.
Yeah.
So let's just not get together and sit down and figure a way to work with each other. At the end of the day, there is basically a marketing stereotype when it comes to brand marketing activities that you and I are both running into. We're both working in channels, you on the PR side doing more earned media and me building podcasts doing more owned, but they're not performance marketing channels. So what is the secret sauce to try to break down those barriers and build up some connections across the different disciplines?
It's being very resolute in your recommendations. That example I gave of being stonewalled a bit is continuing to ask and to start small. To say like, give us, you know, this target list and we're going to start, it's like a little overwhelming. So it is start small with the ask. And then two is making sure that you're having the right conversations up front. This is something that we've learned is in our onboarding process, sort of changing the vernacular and in what our expectations are. Because now we require a conversation. Of course, we're, you know, our primary contacts and if it's the CMO, but if our contact's not the CMO, the CEO, head of sales and head of customer success. Because we need departmentally to understand what their needs are and how not only we can support them, but how they can help support our efforts. Because what we create, like our output, should be used as a marketing asset, just like any other asset that's created internally. And we often find that it's not. So if we earn a killer piece of press coverage, it just dies on the vine. Like we realize it's not being shared on LinkedIn. Sales team isn't leveraging it. It's not getting put in front of customers. It's the thing. And then the thing goes away. So having those conversations up front to ensure that everyone understands what we're doing, number one, and how we can support them, number two, up front at the beginning of the relationship. Because trying to do it like once you're in there is when we run into some challenges.
You know, my takeaway from the conversation is maybe we buried the headline here. maybe brand marketing is still hard to track. You know, there are ways that you can do things that are beneficial for your business that don't fit into your direct attribution, your triple M model. However you're thinking about tracking your demand capture, your demand creation is the pie tin. It's how big of a pie are you going to create? Now, you're putting all of your ingredients inside, you put it in the oven, you pull it out, and you can cut it and segment it however you want. But if you don't have the right size container, then you're never going to be able to feed your whole family. Maybe it's a long metaphor, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to thinking about your investment in non-trackable channels, just because you can't track it doesn't mean it won't help you win. And that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks for listening to my conversation with Lindsay Groper, the president of Blast Media. If you'd like to hear more from Lindsay, you could find a link to her LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can contact her on Twitter. Her handle is Lindsay Groper. That's LindseyGroepper. Or you could visit her company's website, which is blastmedia.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MARTECHPOD, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is Ben J. Schaap, BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.